Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to another episode of Everyday Truth. So good to have you with us here in spirit in the studio, and appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord and to His Word. We are, as you know, in the middle of chapter 9 of the book of 1 Samuel. We've been following the circumstances of Saul's life as he's been trying to locate these donkeys. It seems like something so minor. Of course, it wasn't minor. I mean, they were a major piece of property back in those days, and it was a big deal. But relatively speaking, looking back, it seems so minor that God would use the occasion of lost donkeys to get Saul to the place where he met Samuel. But that's exactly what God did. John, I know you've been out of the studio for the last few episodes. You know, what do you make of this story?
You know, this is always a fascinating story for me, Pastor, when I read through here. And I see how that God is working in Saul's life to get Saul to the place where he needs to be. You know, Saul goes out on this mundane tasks to him. As you mentioned, they were valuable animals. But yet Saul is out looking for these and they can't find them. He talks to his servant, as you already have discussed, and they decide to go and see Samuel. And it's just neat to see how God in his providence works in the affairs of people to guide people to where they need to be as they follow him.
So far, what has happened, you can chalk up to coincidence. The servant of Saul says, hey, you know, I heard that the man of God is nearby. Why don't we go ask him? Saul says, okay, yeah, it's a good idea. They're making their way up the hill. They meet these girls on the way down. The girls say, hey, this is amazing that you're coming now, because this is the exact time that Saul is having this, or rather Samuel is attending this big shindig. And if you go up there right now, you'll probably find him, because they're not going to start the meal without him. So it's like, wow, what a coincidence. And then they go into town, as we talked about last episode, and they ask Samuel, hey, do you know where this guy is? Oh, yeah, that's me. So, I mean, it really appears to be coincidental, but we know that it's God's providence.
You know, it always is fascinating to me to see that Saul does not know who Samuel is. I mean, by recognition, you know, Saul lived not that far away from where Samuel made his circuit of judging people. And yet Saul did not know what he looked like. And that always is funny to me when I'm looking for the seer. Oh, I am the seer.
Yeah. Yeah. Verse number 20 is where we're picking it up today. And as for thine donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? You talk about a verse that provides a study in contrast. So Samuel begins by almost dismissively saying, hey, I know you're here about the donkeys. Don't worry about them. Okay, they're found. Okay, here's why you're really here. You're here because you're the man whom God has chosen.
You know, it is fantastic as I see this, how that Samuel is working with Saul to put his mind at ease. Don't worry about the donkeys, they're found. But then, as you said, Pastor, to really get to the truth, the heart of the matter, this is what is crucial that you understand and you know. In some way, it reminds me of Jesus, the woman at the well, when she's talking about, you know, where should we worship at, you know, on this mountain. And Jesus answers that quickly, but his focus is, this is the reality you need to see, is worship God in spirit and in truth. And in our life, it's great to know that God knows what we need the most. And sometimes what we think is our greatest need is not our greatest need. Finding the donkeys is really not the greatest need in Saul's life. It's for Samuel to teach him and tell him about what God has for his life.
And this was a season in the life of God's people when everybody was thinking about, I wonder who the king's going to be. Because they had demanded of Samuel a king. Samuel told them it's a bad idea, but they were insistent. And so Samuel says, okay, if you want a king, then you're going to get a king. And he sent every man to his own city. So there already was this movement, this vibe in the country about, hey, everyone's going to their own city. Samuel's going to show up. We're going to find out who the next king is. Even in this very city to which Saul had gone, the elders were gathering for a feast. This may have been a time when even in that city that they're sensing, wow, Samuel's here. We're having a big feast. Maybe this is the time. There was an expectancy. And yet, in stark contrast to that expectancy is Saul, who for these days has been completely sidetracked by looking for donkeys. So I think it's significant that Samuel says, hey, your donkey situation, that was just the way that God got you here. Really, what's really important now is that you understand that you are the one whom God is calling.
And this would have been what information for Saul to get here. Mm. He's going out, you know, just serving his dad, looking for these donkeys. By some, what appears happenstance, his servant mentions Samuel. They go to see Samuel. And now to hear this news that all Israel's desires upon you, what information that Samuel just unloads upon Saul.
That's a lot to assimilate. You would think that the best possible news he could have received in his view was, my donkeys are found. And he got that news. And then that just seems like a drop in the bucket compared to the fact, and oh, by the way, look at verse number 21. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore, we would say today, why? Well, why then? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Hey, Samuel, you've got it wrong. I don't think you're fully aware of who I am. I'm a member of the smallest tribe, and I have a small family within that tribe. I think you got your wires crossed.
You know, as you mentioned, Pastor, there was this idea of expectancy. And because all that's in the air about Israel expecting the king going to happen here, right away, Saul is tracking what Samuel is saying. You know, when Samuel says, is not, you know, basically, aren't you the desire of Israel? Right away, Saul knows what he's saying. Wasn't news he expected to get. And, you know, I don't know if Saul knew this or not, but in Genesis, you know, Jacob had said that Judah would be the ruling tribe.
Exactly.
So I don't know if that's what he's referring to here, but definitely he says, I'm from Benjamin. Basically, who am I? And so he is overwhelmed by this information.
And Benjamin always lived in the shadow of Judah. They were right next to each other. Judah was the much bigger tribe. Benjamin was the little brother, so to speak. It may have even been that the people were already conjecturing about, I wonder what tribe. You know, maybe it will be the tribe of, maybe it'll be the Levites. I mean, after all, Moses. Maybe it'll be Judah, as you suggested. Maybe it'll be Ephraim. I mean, that was Joshua. But nobody was thinking Benjamin. And is it not an interesting parallel to the way that he anointed David some years later? It wasn't the anticipated person. Now, David, of course, was the tribe of Judah, but David was a small family, or rather the youngest in his family. Eliab looked like a much better candidate, and yet God had this plan.
And it reminds us that God's ways are sometimes, you know, counterintuitive to what people would think. And we see that time and again throughout Scripture, how that God works in ways we don't foresee. And God surprises us many times by the way he works things out.
The Bible says in verse 23, and Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder. That would be one of the most prized parts of the animal, usually reserved for the priest himself. And that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, in other words, what's been set aside, set it before thee and eat, for unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. So Samuel gives a little confirmation here, and said to the cook, "Hey, remember I already told you that a special guest is coming? Remember I already told you to save aside that best portion? Remember how I already told you this seat here is reserved for somebody and we didn't have a name tag yet? Remember I told you that? Well, this is the guy, this is the seat, this is the meal, here it is."
You know, it obviously as Samuel now gives Saul this great honor, the people have to be scratching their heads. You know, what's going on here? You know, why is this guy getting this great honor? And they're not going to know right now because Samuel's not going to make it public right now. But they have to wonder what's going on. And I'm sure many of them are trying to speculate what is happening here. But clearly to Saul, he is being honored in a great way by this man of God.
And remember, the feast in this high place to which Samuel has been called is for the leaders of the town. So these are the higher ups that are there. They've planned for this feast. They're very aware of who's sitting in what seat. I mean, that was very much a thing based upon honor. No doubt they're dressed in their finest. And here's this young guy who's imposing physically, but he's been out chasing donkeys for days. No doubt he looks a wreck. He's been traveling sleepless nights, and now he's been given this great honor.
You know, this is just, it's almost funny to me as I think this in my mind about how that Saul kind of, you know, bedraggled, I'm sure, comes in here, and he is given this great honor. I'm sure his mind is a whirl right now. Samuel has said, you know, you're the one who Israel is looking for, and then he gives him this great honor. I'm sure Saul is just trying to think, okay, What is all going to happen here? You know, what has happened in my life? Samuel's going to speak to him and give him some information. We'll see here in a little while. But Saul has got to be thinking through these things. What does this all mean? And it reminds me in our lives how sometimes God works in very unusual ways, ways that we think we know what's going to happen. We think we're going somewhere for a certain purpose. And then we get there and find out God has something much greater than we ever dreamed.
Mm. That's a really good application. Verse 25, "And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house." So there's this conversation that they're having. No doubt Saul's asking questions. What does this all mean? Samuel, as the older man, is counseling, mentoring, helping, teaching. And the Bible says in verse 26, "And they arose early." So a night has taken place. Saul's had a chance to sleep on it. And it came to pass about the spring of the day, so early the next morning, that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, "Up, that I may send thee away." And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. Now, last verse we'll read at the last verse of the chapter, verse number 27, "And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Bid the servant pass on before us.' And he passed on. 'But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God.'" Well, you talk about a cliffhanger here at the end of the chapter. So they've had this feast. They've had this long conversation. They've had a night to sleep upon it. They get up early in the morning, and Samuel says, "Okay, Saul, you got to get going. Okay, so I'm going to walk you out of town." He's walking him out of town and says, "Hey, tell your servant to keep on walking ahead of us. I've got something private I want to talk to you about." And the private thing was, "I have a special message from God for you."
You know, what a day in Saul's life here, as Samuel's going to give him information that's just beyond his wildest dreams, really. And I think how that, you know, Samuel knows what he's doing. God's already told him, "You're going to find a guy going to come by here. He's going to be the next king of Israel." And this obviously is heavy upon Samuel's heart. He wants Israel to succeed in following God. He knows they're not following God very well. And he knows a lot will hang upon the king. What will the king do? How will the king lead? And I can see Samuel here forging this relationship with this young guy. Saul has no idea all that's going to transpire, but Samuel does. In generalities, at least, what will happen with being king and so forth. And he wants this young man to know you can follow God, you can trust God, and he's going to give him the words from God.
In essence, Samuel has already given Saul a word from God. You're the man. God has selected you. So there is that sense of calling that came from God. But God's word is not just in the beginning. God's word, even our salvation is not just in our justification, but we need the word of God daily. We need God's communication for the journey, for all that's ahead. And what Saul is going to find out, we'll talk about this beginning next episode, is it's the word of God and the spirit of God that God will use in the life of any person, certainly any leader, to help them to be the things that only God can help them to be. So that's it for today. We're a little bit over time. Sorry about that, but I did want to finish the chapter. So we will jump in next episode, chapter number 10. Thanks for hanging on for the ride. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.